Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, I'm Adrian Durham. It's happened again. You're listening to TalkSport. It's time to look back at the last of the quarterfinal ties of Qatar 2022 as 8 became 4. This is World Cup Daily.
Wide to the far side, high cross in for Mati Atala, looking for En-Nesyri! And Morocco have scored! Youssef En-Nesyri beating Diego Costa to the high ball! And there is African delight all around this stadium. Morocco have done it again. And this time, it could carry them all the way to the semi-finals. Uncharted territory for Morocco. Uncharted territory for Africa. And their fans are jubilant. And Portugal now have a real problem to solve. Morocco 1, Portugal 0.
Griezmann for Tchouaméni, who shoots from distance and scores. It's Kane against Lloris. He scores! Sent Lloris the wrong way again. Griezmann on the left-hand touchline. Giroud attacks out and scores. Flying header from Olivier Giroud.
Harry, your country is well and truly behind you.
He hits it. Right footed. Oh, he's blasted it over the bar. He's missed it. The full-time whistle blows, and it blows to signal the end of another England World Cup campaign. Beaten quarter-finalists, it has a familiar ring to it.
Yep, it's another one of those nights. England 1, France 2, in a game where you could say that England were the better side, and Stuart Pearce indeed does think that, the former England captain. Let's have a review of what went on tonight, Stuart Pearce, because at times it really looked good for England. They drew back level early in the second half, and it looked like they were going to take the game. It looked like they had the beating of France, then conceded, then missed a penalty. I mean, your assessments of where it all went wrong for England in a game they could easily have won.
Yeah, for me, an early start would have been more preferable. A better start from the team, a more offensive start that actually said, we're going to put a marker down from minute one. We have no respect for you in regard to, in footballing terms, on the pitch. We do obviously have, you know, that type of footballing, but the respect that our individual players in our head-to-heads, man for man, with you, you're going to be seeing that we're coming for you. I'd have liked to have seen that from the first minute. I think when both the goals come, first one and the second one, I didn't see too much build-up and too much pressure on it, you know. So it's been a real kick. I mean, Gareth's talking about going away and decoding it. I almost feel as though I need to do the same, if I'm being quite honest with you. You know, it's such a blow, and I've been champion in England, and I honestly thought we were going to win the competition. I really did. I said that to you from the offset, and I think that performance against a team that have got every chance of picking the trophy up was good enough to probably win the match as well.
Let's go down to Faye Carruthers, who's with the England manager, Gareth Southgate.
Gareth, how much does that defeat hurt?
Well, we hoped and thought we could win the tournament, and we've gone toe-to-toe with, you know, the current champions and a team that have got some incredible talent, and I think we've performed as well as we possibly could. So to lose the game, having had more chances, having had more attempts on goal, is particularly harsh for the whole group. You know, they've been an absolute credit throughout the tournament, and they were the same tonight. You know, of course, we've missed some key chances. We've conceded goals that we shouldn't concede, but that will happen in any game of football. But I've been proud to lead them through this tournament, and I think they've improved all the way through it. Some young players have announced themselves on a world stage. The more senior players have been fantastic at bonding the group. So, yeah, tonight words feel a bit hollow because there's not a lot I can really say to lift anybody.
I was going to say, what were you able to say in the dressing room afterwards? Because the players looked absolutely devastated, understandably, on the pitch, but particularly rallying around your captain, Harry Kane.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we wouldn't be in the position we are as a team without the way he's led, the way he's played, the important goals he's scored for us. So we're a collective, you know. We've won games because of the group, and tonight, across 100 minutes, there's lots of things that the whole team have done well and some things that the whole group didn't do so well, and that's how we feel about it. It's not about any individuals. In the end, I don't think the players could have given any more than they've given right across this tournament.
There were a few key moments, a few refereeing decisions as well that certainly from our commentary box and where I was sitting pitch side looked very questionable. How did you view them?
Yeah, look, we've lost the game, and I don't want to be standing talking about the referee when we've lost the game. I don't think that would be the right way to go. I have to congratulate France. You know, they've got some fantastic players, and they've managed to get over the line tonight.
I've just got one more question for you because I'm being wrapped, and it's an important one, and you know it's coming. There has been a lot of talk about your future after this tournament. I know you've got 2 years left on your contract. Stuart Pearce certainly wants you to stay. I know there are many other people that do as well. What have you decided you're going to do?
I've always had my entire focus on this tournament, and after every tournament, we've needed some time to reflect, and these tournaments take a huge amount of energy out of you, and I think it's right after each tournament to sit with the FA and talk things through and see where everything's at, because I think it's important to make the right decisions for everybody.
I've just got a follow-up on that, because the emotion as a manager is very different to a player, and you have had so many other things to contend with over your tenure, but particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, I would say. Does that come into your thinking when you're making a decision like this?
I think it's why you have to take time, because tonight is not the time to make good decisions. So it hurts. You're working for 4 years to get to a World Cup, and you believe you have a team that can genuinely contend and can win it, and of course when you come so close at this stage, it's difficult to take at the moment. So I need that time to think.
I understand. Thank you very much for talking to us. Thank you.
There you go, Faye Carruthers with Gareth Southgate. I don't know about you, Stuart, but that has left me slightly concerned. It does take energy out of you. Need to sit down with the FA and make the right decisions. So it wasn't a definite I'm staying on. Worried?
I would be genuinely worried, yes, if he walked away from the FA, because, you know, he wants to spend more time with his family or whatever he wants to do. In the summer, there was a clamour in many, many quarters to get rid of him. And it astounded me, Aid. I've got to say, absolutely astounded me, and it hurt me on his behalf, because you've only got to listen to him, and irrelevant to the friendship that I have with him, the respect that I have for him, for the job that he does, and the honesty that he does, in a world where you don't get a lot of honesty from certain individuals, he's got my utter respect for the job that he does and the leadership that he offers our country, and we should be rightly proud of him.
I must admit, we had a discussion the other day, a few of us on the TalkSport team, about who could possibly replace Gareth Southgate if he does go. Some people said after this tournament he should go. Two names came up, and it left me absolutely floored. Jose Mourinho is arguably one of the most destructive managers in terms of his recent career, having been brilliant before. I can't see that being right. and Steve Holland. And I just thought, why would you lose Gareth Southgate and put Steve Holland in charge? Didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Going forwards, given what Gareth has done, I think it's right to say he's earned the right, a crack at another tournament. He definitely shouldn't be sacked, but it's totally ball in his court as to whether he decides, yes, I can do another 2, 4, whatever many years of this.
Yeah, I mean, as Jim mentioned earlier, he's got a 2-year contract, so I'm led to believe, and I think it'll be down to him to probably sit for a month, speak with his family, speak with the FA and everyone concerned, and decide whether he fulfills that or he doesn't. I'll be astounded if the FA looked at it and thought, you know what, we need to make a change at this stage, because he's such a safe set of hands. He's got such a good group of young players coming through. And I think, to be honest with you, apart from this summer, where at the end of a really long season where he chopped and changed teams, apart from that little window of probably 3 or 4 games, I think apart from that, the whole everything that I've seen has just been positive.
We keep going deep in the tournaments, but we just cannot get over the line. Let's go down and get some reaction from TalkSport England correspondent Faker Others.
I'm with Kyle Walker in the tunnel. Kyle, commiserations. How do you even begin to sum up that match?
It's a tough one to take. I mean, I've been in a lot of football games and a lot of, you know, high-pressure moments, and, you know, that one's... it's hard to swallow. I don't think it's probably set in just yet. I think the way that we control the game, how the game plan's probably been executed, has been, you know, second to none. But as I just said there on the TV, it's about the decisive moments in both boxes that have, you know, decides a football game. You know, even though we had a lot more shots on target, we failed. We only put the ball in the back of the net once. So listen, that's not going to win you football matches.
The fact that it came down to your captain and your close friend Harry Kane at the end, how difficult is that? How is he? How have you been able to rally around him in the dressing room?
I've had the pleasure of playing with H since he was 15. His mentality has stayed the same. And I'm not just saying this because of the situation. His mentality has stayed the same throughout. It doesn't change. And I bet everyone in the country would have wanted him on the penalty. So you win some, you lose some. He scored many of crucial penalties. I remember in the Euros, the one against Denmark, where he's not probably scored it, but he's got the rebounds, and you know that takes big character to step up and put that into the back of the net on one occasion and then to step up again. It shows what he is, and he's a leader. So listen, obviously he's going to feel down, but I can assure you that there's 25 lads in that dressing room fully behind him, and I should hope the country's behind him as well, supporting him on a difficult moment. But he'll be back and that's the character that he is,
I'm sure. Just one final question from you. Where does this England team go now? It's ended in disappointment at the last 8 stage. 2024 European Championships, is it a pick yourself up and go forward?
It's football. Life is that. You have to pick yourself and move up. And like I just said there, that what a talented group of bunch of lads this is. I can assure you that from me stepping into that dressing room at 19 under Fabio Capello to being now the group's come on leaps and bounds, not just on the field but off the field, and this team's going to be special, I can assure you that. It might be the next tournament, it might be the tournament after, but the group of lads that we've got in there, the leaders that we've got in there, and the maturity that's coming through, it's going to be a real, you know, exciting time for English football. So listen, we apologise, we obviously wanted to go on and win this, but listen, let's look forward to the future, and the future is going to be bright, I can assure you.
I look forward to that.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Bad luck tonight.
There will be different interpretations of what went on here at Al Bates this evening, but in the end, England are out of the tournament. Mason Mount comes on and wins a penalty for England. You score the penalty. I think we all felt that England may well go on and win the game. We will never know whether that's true or not. Or another version of it is, well, they didn't create chances from open play, made the wrong substitutions. People have their own different interpretations on it. However, there are lots of positives from this tournament for England, even though it was a semi-final 4 years ago and a final in the Euros. It's a quarter-final, but there's still a lot of positives for England.
Oh, there's a massive amount of positives. I think, for a start, if I look at the lineup here and said, who had a bad game today? I'm struggling to give you a name, to be quite honest with you. I think everyone, for varying degrees, played reasonably well. Henderson's come in, broke into the team where everyone thought he shouldn't even be on an aeroplane, and showed leadership qualities, drive when we needed it in certain games, played his part magnificently in the game today, you know. At his age, Walker's nullified one of the best players in this tournament and in the world, quite reasonably comfortably. Put it this way, when he takes the pitch against Morocco next week, he could, in a few days' time, he could be going past two and three players at a time, you know, and scoring two or three goals. He hasn't scored tonight. The two centre-halves, no one wanted Maguire here on the aeroplane. All of a sudden, he's come, and you might say, well, hang on, Giroud's got in front of him. I take your point. But over the duration of the games that we've had here at this World Cup, he's been as good as anybody. Playing under the pressure that he knows there's certain individuals that didn't even want him on an aeroplane. But as luck happens, the manager doesn't listen to that.
A lot of those players you're talking about as well are very young. So Gareth Southgate has led them well. He's put them into the team. And he's got a great group together. There's no doubt about that. There's a great group. You just have a look at the bromance between Henderson and Bellingham. Gareth Southgate, post-match, was saying he's tired, basically. It takes it out of you energy-wise. Needs to sit down with the FA. 2 years left on his contract. Do you expect him to be in charge for the Euros in Germany?
Yes, I do. And I hope he will. So that's how I answer that. What I would like as well, just touching on, are you talking about the team? I look across our back four. And, you know, Cole's in his 30s now, and you would like some more young options coming through in those areas, I would say. You know, we've been talking about the heart of defence being a potential question mark about the heart of defence, and we've talked about that for probably a couple of years, to be quite honest with you. I'd like more options in that area if we can. If we can bring a couple of up-and-coming centre-halves into the fold.
Let's talk about Harry Kane. He missed the penalty. He's got to get it on target. It's a bittersweet night for Harry Kane. The overwhelming feeling will be disappointing. He may well feel that he has let his country down by Sky in the penalty. My view is he's always got to get it on target, but it just wasn't to be. He's also equaled Wayne Rooney's goal-scoring record for England in far fewer games as well. That fact will get lost tonight because he's missed a penalty, simple as that.
It will in his own mind, because he's an ultimate professional and you drive yourself. All these boys are internally driven, you know. You don't have to tell them from the outside whether they can do better, or do worse or whatever. And quite often praise just bounces off top performers. They're not interested. They'll drive themselves and they know internally whether they're disappointed with any of their actions on a pitch. What I would say is actions over the whole 90 minutes probably give England an opportunity to be the best team on the pitch tonight, and I think they were.
Yeah, he did miss the penalty, and that will stay with him, you're absolutely right. But I think that given the reaction, the horrific reaction last summer when players missed penalties in the shootout, Harry Kane can handle himself. He won't. I know he will be bothered by the penalty miss, but some of the toxic stuff, he won't let that bother him because he's so experienced, surely.
Of course he will. It should be water off a duck's back. For anyone in the public eye, there's an expectation that sadly out there in the open world, there are people with ridiculous views and emotional views, and you don't know who that is on the other end of the computer.
You're listening to the TalkSport World Cup Daily Podcast.
Jude, I could see how devastated you are at the final whistle. How do we even go about summing up what's just happened out there?
I think we were the better team in the game, in my opinion. We created a lot. We got in with a lot of routines that we'd been working on and that we'd done in the previous games, and didn't quite capitalise on the bigger chances that we had, but we definitely felt like we was in control of the game. We were a little bit more dominant than them, and yeah, it's fine margins at this level with goals, decisions, penalties, that kind of thing. And yeah, they didn't land on our side, and we didn't quite do enough to win the game, and that's the truth. But it's really disappointing.
Yeah, really hard to take, but it felt like you were the better team, particularly when you went behind as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we imposed our game on theirs really well. I think their star players were nullified very well by our defence, and we, like I said, we got through them well. We had chances and we didn't take them, and like I said, the fine margins kind of cost us.
We've talked about your leadership qualities throughout this tournament. You know how many fans you have at TalkSport. You were the first person to go straight over to Harry Kane when he missed that penalty. What did you say to him?
I just said that, you know, don't let, you know, as the leader of the team, which he is with the media, on the pitch, you know, off the pitch. It's just important that I felt that I kept him in the game mentally. You know, for me, I can't thank him enough for how much he's integrated me into the team. I've seen him deliver time and time again since I've been in the England setup with the senior team. And, you know, on this occasion, he didn't quite score, but I think he's done more than enough for this team, for his country. And I just wanted to kind of, in that moment, remind him a little bit that, you know, he can still win us the game. And it wasn't to be in the end, but, yeah, there's, for me, there's no feeling towards the captain that's negative after all he's done for this country.
Absolutely. I know you're getting moved on in a second, so I'll keep this short, but you've been the standout player for England.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Absolutely fantastic. You've spoken to Ali McCoist, he's given you a message. Yeah. I wish we could have got you face to face. At some point soon we will. But what are your overriding memories of this? Because this is just the beginning for you. Your first World Cup, we've got the European Championships in 18 months' time. What more can you do?
I think the overriding feeling is disappointment because of the way in which we've gone out. But I think the memories that will live with me in terms of, you know, some of the learning that I've had in training and in the games, playing against certain opponents is, you know, it's invaluable, really, how much I've taken from this camp and from the tournament. And I'm really kind of, I think if there's one feeling that I get mainly after the defeat and in that moment where, you know, I couldn't quite keep my emotions to myself in that moment was I've got to get one, whether it's Euros or World Cup. I think the mentality for me is I've got to get one.
I look forward to watching you
Thank
do
you.
That.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Very
Thanks
much,
very
dude.
Much, Fer.
What about the French? They've won the game. They're through. They've got Morocco in the semi-finals. Are they actually going to retain this thing?
Well, I think they'll get to the final. And when they get to the final, I think they'll have a game against Argentina, I think. But you never know. Croatia keep defying logic. They keep pushing the boundaries and saying that. Morocco keep pushing the boundaries all the time. And I'm absolutely delighted that there is a Morocco, an underdog, that are still out there fighting and just defying the odds.
It's going to be hard to have a happy Christmas after this, isn't it? It's just a couple of weeks away as well. How are you feeling as an England fan?
Ho, ho, ho. No, listen, we've come out to the World Cup and it's been the first time, it's been this time of year, and we went out under this big, massive cloud of the World Cup shouldn't be here and this and that and whatever. And I can only speak from my heart how I see. This World Cup has been magnificent. The travelling to the games has been brilliant. The organisation's been brilliant. The friendliness of people on the ground has been absolutely brilliant. I think the standard of football's been very, very good. And listen, we've enjoyed every minute. We've come out as a group of staff that probably work in isolation quite often or in threes and fours. And we've almost been a team. We've had big numbers out here working on the ground with the company and almost bonded. You know, so it's been a brilliant World Cup. So I've got only good memories.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's have a look at Morocco 1, Portugal 0. Extraordinary, extraordinary game, that quarterfinal at Al Tamamah Stadium. Morocco going through. It's based, Stuart Pearce, on hard work, on solid defence. No opposition player has scored against Morocco at this World Cup. And there's a lot of pure passion in there as well. And it feels like with Qatar out early, Morocco as an Arab nation, they brought a lot of fans here as well, extremely passionate. It feels like they are the home nation at this World Cup.
Yeah, I think they are. I think a lot of neutrals now will be adopting them, and a lot will like to see them go all the way at the final. And that togetherness that they've got, that steely determination not to be beaten, and the defensive record is just sensational over these last 9 or 10 games.
It is. Their coach has said that they are the Rocky of the World Cup.
Yep, he looks like Bill Bauer. Who is it, Bill Bauer?
I think that's where England played in 82. Rocky Balboa. But he's got a point. I mean, in terms of the drama of this tournament, and this just added to it, we saw the Argentina game against the Dutch, which was just crazy. Croatia coming from behind to do Brazil as well. The quarterfinals have really stepped up to the plate, and you've got to say there's more to come. Morocco, though, will find it so tough against the French. Mbappe was kept quiet by Kyle Walker. Hakimi, his teammate at Paris Saint-Germain on that right-hand side, knows all about him. It's whether he can keep him quiet.
Yeah, listen, that has been the most quiet Mbappe's been at this World Cup. Make no mistake. I mean, I was at the Australia game, and to be fair, he absolutely tortured the Australian backline, and he's done, and he scored great goals and whatever. And I can't remember. I think he had one shot in the first half that I can remember that was way off target. Aside from that, I'm not sure I can readily remember an effort at goal.
They're best friends, actually. They tweet each other actually after games at this World Cup, Hakimi and Mbappe. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup. You know, some of the tension we've seen between players at this World Cup. Interesting to see if best friends, whether it actually gets tense, if there's an injustice that one of them feels, maybe.
Hey, this is the World Cup, my friend. You've got no friends here, especially if they're wearing the opposition shirt.
I'm going to shout for Amrabat in midfield as well. I don't think I've ever seen a player with that much energy in a World Cup. Game after game after game, he's everywhere, doing seemingly everything, covering so much ground. I think he's an extraordinary player for Morocco.
Yeah, I mean, I touched on Bellingham and Henderson about having this arrogance. I think he's got exactly that as well. You know, he's here on merit, and he drives his team fantastically well.
Cristiano Ronaldo, though, was left in tears at the end. He's out. He had a shot that was saved fairly comfortably in the end, just one sort of half chance that he took early, but couldn't hit the back of the net, and he's gone. He kind of left the field fairly swiftly and down the tunnel. The cameras were there and caught him in tears. That's it for Cristiano Ronaldo, certainly at World Cups.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way at the age he's at the moment. You know, the manager's made a big call by leaving him out. I think it was the right judgment call. And there's a lot of teams, Aid, make no mistake, that have gone home very, very early at this World Cup. So don't lose track of the fact England have gone out to the world champions. You're looking at Belgium, you're looking at Germany. That was a distant memory. You know, that was a couple of weeks ago they went home. So, you know, Portugal have gone, Spain have gone. You know, to be fair, Spain went in the first 30 minutes of the first game that I saw. I thought they were going home, and that was certainly the case. And at least if you're going to go home with your head held high. And I think our squad of players have done exactly that.
If you had to tip, you'd say Argentina-France is the final. Who's going to win it, though?
I have a feeling that the Argentinians have got their name on it this year. I think they've, after the first game, they've got stronger and stronger. I think they've got a bit of match know-how. I would edge on them.
Stuart, thank you very much. Difficult night for all concerned. Don't forget, the TalkSport World Cup Daily Podcast is available to download on the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be there every morning throughout the rest of the tournament in Qatar. It's not coming home, but England are.
So, to the next instalment of the story. The last chapter brought the nearest of near misses on the most agonising and gut-wrenching of Wembley summer nights. The cruelest of endings to a wonderful journey. But now the page is turned.
I think a very well-balanced squad, and I think we've got every opportunity, I really do.
Their 2022 World Cup campaign is underway, so sit back and let the history unfold.
Is it finally time to end England's years of hurts?
Grealish! Half a dozen for England on a fantastic night. The USA have provided trouble in the past, but 3 points for the Three Lions. And a place in the last 16 is theirs. And that is that. Full time and some boos emanating around the Al Bayt Stadium in Alcor.
I'm not sure if that was aimed at us or I don't know.
Gets it onto his left foot. Oh, finds it straight through Danny Ward for number three. And Marcus Rashford is now the joint leading scorer of the World Cup.
They will face Senegal in the last 16.
Foden running right to the first chance. Gets it in. There's number three. And now you can start thinking about what you want to do next Saturday night. I'll give you a clue. It's World Cup quarter-final time. Bring on the French.
Harry, your country is well and truly behind you. He hits it.
Right footed. Oh, he's blasted it over the bar. He's missed it. He's whacked it over the bar. The full-time whistle blows, and it blows to signal the end of another England World Cup campaign. Beaten quarter-finalists. It has a familiar ring to it.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.